everyone. Thank you for checking out another episode of the TardyCast. We're here with week three with Buddy as we are continuing the journey through the three circles. Buddy, how's it going?
It's going well, Justin.
How are you feeling?
Great.
Are you excited for the Christmas? This is the 22nd of December.
Yeah.
So when people listen to this, like they would have had Christmas.
That's
New
right.
Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done all your shopping?
I just finished, Justin, on the way over here.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Yeah.
What did you get?
I got
you can say
my.
It,
yeah, I can say it because yeah. He won't. Yeah, he won't listen.
To hear this.
Jack's Surf Shop. I got him some swim fins,
yeah.
Swim shorts,
oh, yeah.
And reef sandals. We're ready to go to Hawaii, Justin.
If he doesn't want those things, you can give those to me. Those sound like a gift you get.
You can.
Yeah. I love all.
You can
that
love
stuff.
All that, right?
I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish he was my size. I just, he's just smaller than me. Sam. When are you going to Hawaii?
June 4th, the day after Malia graduates from high school.
Graduates
yeah.
from high school?
She's graduating high school.
I can't believe they're all so. It's not saying they're so old, cause
but she was
know,
in your junior high group.
She was my junior high, and now they're
and
all
now
graduating.
Now she's graduating high school.
Oh my goodness, this is
yeah.
all. This is all so crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so the last couple of weeks, if you've been tuning in, we've talked about getting the story, we've talked about exploring the internal world.
Yes.
And now this week we're talking about intervention.
Yes, the third circle.
And this is the one where I probably have the most trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I love asking questions, so to get the story, and I think a lot of people have probably listened to that one a couple times by now.
Mm-hmm.
Exploring the internal world, like there's a complexity to it, but like you can like kind of get it. I have trouble on this last step,
yeah.
Kind of as you close it out, finishing
yeah.
strong.
Yes.
So I just right off the bat, tell me about what the intervention step is before we get into
yeah.
these questions.
Yeah, the intervention step is really trying to come up with some sort of an action plan, but the key here is that the action plan is best when it's thought of by your client. So when the kid comes up with their own plan of action, when the kid comes up with their own next steps, they're more likely to execute it and carry through on it. So in this circle, what you're really trying to do initially, at least, is resist the urge to jump in too quickly, to give them your idea of what a good next step or a good solution would be. That's not to say you can't do it, but you want to check it out with them first, explore their options first. Then you can ask them, would you like some of my input and some of my thoughts? At that point, you can then offer your advice or your feedback or your information. But it is difficult to kind of resist that initial temptation to jump in too quickly.
Well, Buddy, there's parents out there who are probably thinking exactly what I'm thinking. I'm not supposed to offer, I'm supposed to let them come up with it.
Yeah.
But they can't even pick out matching clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
I want them to come up with it,
mm-hmm.
but they forget to brush their teeth.
Right.
And if we're dealing with something serious, maybe I should be more hands-on and really kind of help, like lead it and kind of guide it strongly, because I don't want them to make a bigger mistake by trying to get out of or fix the mistake. So what would you say to
right.
that?
Yeah, I would say trust the process. And I have been surprised, and I think parents will be surprised, as to what you will hear when you ask your son or daughter, what do you think would be some wise next steps? You know, what do you think would be a potential option that you can take to solve your problem? And when you give them that opportunity, a lot of times they will rise to the occasion, especially if you preface it by saying, what is the wise thing to do here? They will sometimes surprise you. Now, the other thing is, I understand this fear that I don't want my child to endanger themselves or to make a foolish choice. If they come up with something that does sound foolish, then you can still say at that point, all right, what other ideas do you have? And and you can tell them, that sounds a little scary to me. That sounds like it may have some problems. These are the problems I see with that particular solution. What else can you come up with?
Is there a line, though? I mean, is there a moment where you get where you don't trust the pro? I feel like you're going to say there's not a point where you don't trust the process, but for
yeah.
a parent that's like, man, my every instinct is telling me I should get more hands-on and try and take care of it myself, and not leave it to chance. You would continue to coach them in sticking with it.
Yeah, because adolescents have this need for what we call autonomy. And this autonomy need really starts to kind of show itself in junior high for these, you know, these young children that are kind of coming into adolescence. They do have this tremendous need to make independent decisions, take responsibility for those decisions. So you're kind of robbing them of attaining an important developmental milestone if you relate to them like you would when they were school age. So when they're school age, no problem for you to jump in. But at this age, when the autonomy need is starting to kind of come to the foreground, you really want to give them that opportunity. And if they can come up with a good plan, that is going to really increase their confidence that they are able to function in an autonomous way, which really leads to maturity and good adjustment psychologically.
All right. Well, if you're sitting there with your student, you're trying to kind of give them the step by step. I mean, you're empowering them to make these decisions.
That's right.
Maybe they just don't know how to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how do you coach mm-hmm. a parent in helping? So without the parent mm-hmm. doing it,
yeah.
Which I think we've established the autonomy. I completely agree mm-hmm. with, by the way,
mm-hmm.
we want to coach a parent in how to sit down and have that conversation where you're really helping empower them to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
If they don't know how to, without yeah. giving them the answer, how does that dialogue
yeah.
go?
Yeah. Well, remember now you're in the third circle. So that means you've already explored the first two circles.
Yeah.
So you've already gotten the story. Mm-hmm. You've already explored the internal world. So a very good technique at this point would be to summarize. So a summarization is to say, okay, this is what I've heard so far. This is the story. This is how you feel about it. This is what it means to you. This is what's bothering you. This is what's frustrating you. This is what is making you sad. This is what is making you angry. And then ask the question, what are your next steps? What are your options? What would be a wise thing for you to do now? And so the summarization of what's been said so far, that will relax them, help them to feel understood, and it will help them to organize the problem in their own mind, because hopefully you're summarizing in a concise, coherent, and organized way that helps your student get organized to where the solution or the next step or what they need to do that would be wise will kind of more easily, more readily come into their mind.
Your kid's making his decision then, you're helping him with this.
Yeah.
They make what you would determine to be the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And for all intent, for the sake of this, mm-hmm. let's just say it is the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're making a decision
yeah.
that any adult would say that's the wrong decision.
Yes.
And you'd let them go the steps of this to learn a deeper lesson or how does that, like,
that's a great question.
So there's this guy named Father Leahy at mm-hmm. the St. Benedict School in Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Right, super cool guy.
Yeah,
he was talking about this big retreat they take all the boys on. Super cool retreat, and mm-hmm. part of the retreat is like a 50-mile hike or something crazy, and it's all student led. It's mm-hmm. all student led. An adult's there to chaperone, mm-hmm. but they're not there to give advice or anything. They're just there to make sure kids don't die. But yeah. it's all student led. So when they start, this one specific group was starting out, and they have a map, and they have to figure it out with a map, not a phone. They actually have these paper maps. There mm-hmm. is such a thing. And they start going in the wrong direction right off the bat.
Yeah.
And it would have been so easy for the adult there to say, we're going the wrong direction. Guys, we're just going the wrong direction. Like, let's go in the right direction. But he didn't. He kept his mouth shut. And it takes a certain kind of, it takes a certain kind of leadership of an adult to keep their mouth shut when they know they're making the wrong decision, because students need to learn that and figure it out for themselves, not, just be told everything. I think we've established that. But if they're making the absolute wrong decision, how do you help dialogue them through that? Or do you just let it happen for the bigger lesson, and then you just continue the three circles again about what they learned through that?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, it's a great question, and I think it depends. And in the example that you gave, this Father Leahy, is that his name?
Yeah, Father Leahy.
He gave them the autonomy. He met their need for autonomy by letting them walk in the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
then they figure it out through the natural consequence, you know, being lost, and then they could figure out the right direction to walk in. So they learned a really important lesson through a natural consequence.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can give you an example. The other day, Blake was, and I can say this because they won't hear this till after Christmas.
Absolutely.
So he was, about a week ago, he said he wanted to buy a bracelet for his girlfriend. He's a freshman in high school. And I asked him, you know, what he was looking for and, you know, would he like my help? And so we looked on Amazon together and we found one. And I said, well, do you want to buy this one? He says, I'm not sure. And I said, well, you know, if we wait, it may be out of stock. He said, that's okay. I'm going to wait. So then 2 days later, he asked me about it, and I looked online. It was out of stock. So I didn't force him to buy it, which I thought it was kind of foolish for him not to kind of seize it while it was there. But then he was able to go shopping with my wife and went to Macy's and found a nice bracelet. So he was able to recover from that. And I think the whole situation was better for him because he knew I gave him the autonomy to say, no, Dad, I want to wait. At the same time, he did learn a very valuable lesson that if you wait too long, you might lose out on that opportunity. So he learned a lesson. Plus, he knows that his dad's promoting his autonomy.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that, that's a Father Leahy kind of example. Yeah. Now, another example would be Blake said to me last week, I don't want to go to hockey practice because I have too much studying to do for finals. And so I asked him, what's the story? You know, what finals do you have?
Yeah.
When are your finals? How many hours do you have to study? How much have you studied so far? What are your feelings? What does it mean to get an A? What does it mean to get a B? Explored his internal world. And then I said, okay, what do you think your next step is? What are your options? He says, I think I'm going to miss practice. I thought that was a foolish decision because I knew the coach would sit him in the next game. And that would be extremely disappointing to Blake to be sat in the next game because he was missing practice. And I knew the coaches were really cracking down on that. So I said to him, you know, Blake, I don't think that's a wise choice. What other options do you have that would involve you attending practice? How can you both be ready for finals and make it to your practices? And so then we brainstormed some options there. And then he came up with some ideas about changing his studying schedule around a little bit, canceling our dirt bike riding trip on that weekend, on that Saturday, and using that time to study. And I said, Blake, that sounds like a very wise choice. Let's, I'm comfortable with you moving forward in that way. So in that case, I needed as a parent to protect him from hurting himself. And so there's also a need that adolescents have for protection. So it's a little tricky because they need autonomy, but they also need protection.
Yeah.
And when you see their decision as one that's where they're going to be self-destructive, they're going to harm themselves, then in the name of protection and meeting the need for protection, you would give them the feedback, I don't believe that's a wise choice. Let's continue to, not you need to do this instead, but let's continue to brainstorm options. So whether you allow them to learn from their natural consequences or whether you intervene because it's an issue of protection kind of depends on it. You take it on a case by case basis.
Okay. So I want to provide a level of freedom here, but I feel like parents heard that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I want you to know it did make sense to me, and I know it'll be difficult for me.
Yes.
Because there's a nuance there that just doesn't come naturally. I mean, there's no – if there was a book that made the nuances crystal clear,
yeah,
everyone would buy that book.
Right.
And then no one else would need to write another book because it would be the silver bullet that made it all clear.
Sure.
And a book like that doesn't exist.
Right.
You haven't written it yet. So because of that, I feel like there's a really good freedom to be able to include other parents or other people into these conversations that parents don't need to go it alone, that chances are many, many parents will go through a three circles type thing with their kid.
Yeah.
And when they hit one of these roadblock moments of where there's nuance, it's like, I don't really know what to do. There's nothing wrong with calling another parent who probably is in the thick of it with their own kids and just have dialogue. How do you create the kind of freedom and this is kind of off of the three circles of how you talk about it with your students, but I think it also is a part of it for parents. How do you create the freedom, or what would you say to a parent to encourage them to pick up the phone, call another parent, because they're probably going through the same thing too, and you could help be a resource to each other?
Yeah, you make a really good point. And, you know, the Bible says there's wisdom in the counsel of many.
Oh, yeah.
And so what we're talking about here is, what is the wise choice? Well, if there's wisdom in the counsel of many and we want to make a wise intervention, we should consult with other people. So, you know, I had a parent come in the other day, and her husband wants to buy their daughter a cell phone, and their daughter's in the fifth grade. And she said, "Do you think that's a good decision?"
What did you say? I'm literally going to tell my wife the answer to this question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, "Well, you know, I think, you know, that my wife and I have had the same dilemma when our kids were younger. And we talked to other parents." And we did. We talked to other parents and we asked them, you know, at what age do you think the need for autonomy outweighs the need for protection? Because the reason we don't want to give our kids cell phones too early is it may place them in dangerous predicaments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason we do want to give them the cell phone at some point in time is because it gives them more of a sense of independence and autonomy. And so we're balancing these things. And so we really did spend a lot of time talking to other parents. And so, you know, that's what we did. And I encouraged my client to do the same thing. And my client then said, I didn't give my client the answer. My client said, well, when did you give your kids a cell phone? And I said, well, we decided eighth grade.
All right.
And we actually waited until eighth grade graduation. And she said, well, I was thinking the same thing. And I think I'm going to go with that as well. Yeah. And that was her decision. You know, so I was almost using the three circles her too.
Absolutely.
And she came up with that. And I said, that sounds good. And so she went with that. And that's what she's going to go to her husband and her daughter with and present that. Now, the daughter would love to have a cell phone right now, but the mom is seeking to protect. And so the need for protection in this case for a fifth grade girl who wants a cell phone is going to outweigh the need for autonomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really, really good. And that is a ton of sense. And I love that verse is so good.
It is
a great verse.
Wisdom
of many. And it's not the gossip of many. It's not the Facebook comments of many.
Yeah.
Because this isn't the kind of thing that you just want to throw out there to everyone.
Right.
There are trusted people in your life. And if there's
that's
not,
right.
There needs to be.
Yeah.
But there's trusted people in life you can go to and say, man, can we dialogue through this? Can I share what's going on? Can you help me understand?
I love that, Justin, because I'm remembering a particular time when I was trying to make a parenting decision with my son, and my wife and I were in disagreement on how to handle it. And she said something very interesting. She said, can you talk to John and Kim? Kim's a guy. These are two mentors of mine. They're about 10 years older than me. Great husbands, great fathers. They're both psychologists, went to Fuller Seminary where I went to school. And they're mentors to me. And I lean on these guys a lot. And she said, have you talked to them? And I said, no, but that's a really good idea. And I texted them both and invited them to lunch, and they both responded right away. I went out to lunch with John on a Friday, Kim the following Friday. Their counsel was consistent, and it made sense to me, and it influenced my decision, and it was a decision that my wife was aligned with. So wisdom in the counsel of many, and the many being people that you trust, you know, you respect. You respect their faith. You respect the way they make decisions in their family.
The intervene portion, the intervention portion,
yeah.
It's wrapping it up, and it comes to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That conclusion, it can be anything from depending on what the situation is.
Yeah.
You need to go to a person, have a conversation. Might be a difficult conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work through your grief. Maybe that means mm-hmm. talking to someone. Maybe mm-hmm. that means starting counseling. Maybe that means confessing something. Those are all healthy things.
Right.
There's no stigma to those, especially for students. It does not label them as something that they're not.
Yes.
Getting counseling, talking to someone, receiving the help they need mm-hmm. is all a healthy thing. Completely appropriate, completely age appropriate.
And sometimes the kid just needs the permission and the invitation to get in counseling. Yesterday I was working with a family, and the daughter said to me, I have not talked to anybody about my dad's alcoholism. And I said, what do you think you need to do? And she said, I think I need to talk to somebody. And then I said, well, what about a counselor? How would that be for you? She said, I think that's a good idea. So she just needed permission. She just needed me to validate what she already knew in her mind she wanted to do, which was talk to a counselor about a very important family issue.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, this was so great. I'm sure parents, they're going to be listening to this while they're jogging and eating In-N-Out Burger. And what else do parents do? All I do is just survive and sleep. My kids are so young. So I survive and sleep. And
driving their kids to activities.
Driving them to and from. Just waiting at that activity.
Yeah, exactly.
Do a lot of car time. So they're going to listen to this, and this is going to be such an encouragement to them and such a help
good.
To them. So thanks so much for giving your time to this. This is such a great deal.
My pleasure.
Parents, I hope you enjoyed. Remember, send this to a friend. There's 3 weeks of these, so you can send the links to this of this to a friend. Let them listen to the Three Circles. You can download the document. It's in the show notes. And remember, parents, go onto iTunes, leave a review, leave a comment of how maybe you three circled your kids through something. And I think people would get an encouragement from that, and that would help us see that the TardyCast is making an impact in families. That would be a good deal. So go onto iTunes, leave a 5-star review. We love seeing those and seeing your comments. So have a great week. God bless. And remember, we do TardyCast so that you are never late to leadership. Have an incredible week, parents. Bye-bye.